I will now call the Thursday, September 19th, 2024 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Commissioner Williams, may we have a roll call?
Yes, you may. Commissioner Lowe.
Here.
Commissioner Stanton.
Present.
Commissioner Williams, here. Commissioner Galloway Jones.
Here.
Commissioner Placer.
Here.
Commissioner Wilson. Commissioner Walters.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Are there any changes or adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Zinner?
There are not, ma'am.
Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Lowe, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. May I have a thumbs up approval of the agenda? Unanimous. We all received a copy of the September 5th, 2024 regular meeting minutes. Are there any changes or adjustments to the minutes? The motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Could I get a thumbs up approval on the minutes? Unanimous with Commissioner Lowe abstaining. Thank you. For our first case for the evening, case number 217-2024, a request by Matthew Patterson for approval of a conditional use permit to allow 1419 North Azalea Drive to be used as a short-term rental for a maximum of 210 nights annually, pursuant to section 29-3.3VV and section 29-6.4M of the Unified Development Code. The 0.24-acre subject site is zoned R1 single-family dwelling and is located approximately 360 feet southeast of the intersection of Audubon Drive and North Azalea Drive and is addressed 1419 North Azalea Drive. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may, Madam Chairman. And you will see denoted throughout the staff report, unfortunately, we denoted Azalea, North Azalea, as a drive. It is actually a street. So we are dealing with a street as its suffix, not a drive. 0.24 acres is what we're looking at rezoning. You can see the highlighted parcel within the context of the surrounding residential neighborhood. This is a 210-night short-term rental request. It is not the applicant's principal residence. He is not the long-term resident, and therefore the conditional use is required. Property owner notification letters were distributed to 32 property owners on the 3rd of September, and advertising was performed in the Columbia Tribune on the 4th of September. Oblique aerial gives you general context of where the property is as it relates to the off-ramp for for 63 onto Stadium Boulevard. Immediately in the southern portion of this image is the Regal Cinemas 14. Across the way, across the interstate is the Holiday Inn Express and Suites, Break Time, and a large student housing project. And then immediately around this particular property are residential homes and the Stratford Chase subdivision, and further to the north, just off the graphic, is the Shepherd Boulevard School. So the property is zoned R1. As I indicated, it is not the applicant's principal residence, and they are seeking 210 nights of rental with a maximum of 8 transient guests. Pursuant to the application that you were provided, the applicant does not intend on occupying the property at any point in the year when it is not in use as an STR. I'll let the applicant provide further detail associated with that. There also were no other short-term rentals identified within the 300-foot radius surrounding this particular property. And that was by looking at Vrbo, Booking.com, and the Airbnb websites. This particular home was not previously operated as a short-term rental, so there is no short-term rental history on the property for the City of Columbia. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath home. Has a two-car, two spaces in the driveway. It has a two-car garage. The application, as our previous applications, did not provide clarity associated with the use of the garage spaces when the dwelling would be offered for short-term rental purposes. As a result of that, there is a occupancy discretion variation that will need to be made between the available parking and that of the actual available parking in the driveway. There is an elevated entry, as you may be able to make out in this picture. Accessibility modifications, as applicable, may be required, and that will be verified by our Housing and Neighborhood Services Department as a part of their inspection and coordination with our building and our site development department prior to the issuance of a short-term rental certificate of compliance. So as I indicated, there are 8 total guests desired within the property. The driveway only will support 4. As we have previously presented, should the commission desire to allow a total of 8 guests, a CUP condition would need to be added, requiring that the 2 garage spaces be required to be offered when the home is being used for short-term rental purposes. Again, the way that the code is constructed impacts to the street side parking within the neighborhood were to be mitigated by having the required on-site parking standards. North Azalea and South Azalea, which complete the loop in this particular location, are 2 public streets. They do allow public parking on street. However, pursuant to the way that we have adopted the zoning regulations pertaining to short-term rental regulations, all parking associated with the use of this dwelling as a short-term rental had to be accommodated on site. There is no ADU on the property, and there are 21 properties within 185 feet, which constitute a mix of owner-occupied and rental housing, 12 owner-occupied homes, and 9 rental homes within the 21 properties that are within 185 feet. Given that the short-term rental requires the certificate of a CUP, we have to review against both our general and our SDR specific requirements that are found in section 29-6.4M2I and III. The SDR is a permitted use within the R1 zoning district, subject to approval of the CUP that has been requested. Compliance with the short-term certificate of compliance standards that are found within Chapter 22, Article 5 of the City Code, and Chapter 13 and 26 requirements relating to business license and accommodation tax payment. As we've discussed in our prior applications, approval of the CUP would support several broad goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan. One would be promoting mixed use within the neighborhood, which is supported by our livable and sustainable neighborhoods provisions, policy number 2, strategy 1. It also addresses land use and growth management strategies by requiring a process to be established by which to evaluate the impacts that such use of a property would create. That would be described in policy number 3, strategy number 3. And then it also provides opportunities for entrepreneurial use of a property and furthers the general broader goals and objectives of promoting tourism and other economic development objectives within the City of Columbia, which would be captured within policy 3, strategy number 2, in the economic development section of the comprehensive plan. We did receive several calls in regards to the property's application for a CUP. Those concerns had to deal with safety in general, neighborhood compatibility, and then the possible expansion of short-term rentals elsewhere within the neighborhood. We have not received any other applications associated with the potential conversion of other residential dwellings within the neighborhood to short-term rental uses. As the ordinance is structured, only 1 rental license per entity, that is either an individual owner, an LLC, a trust, anything along those lines, is allowed to have a license. So this particular license that is being sought by Mr. Patterson is his 1 and only license permissible within the City of Columbia. And so any other applicant or any other property owner along either North or South Azalea would have to apply in a similar fashion and would have to not be a present holder of a license for another short-term rental. There is no guarantee that potential expansion would not occur. However, evaluating the impacts on each individual case is necessary. The ordinance does include provisions that talk about distance spacing or the number of short-term rentals within a 300-foot radius. And as indicated, there are no found short-term rentals within a 300-foot radius of this particular subject site. There were no comments made in support of the request, even though I believe in the application, Mr. Patterson indicates that his next-door neighbor, who is the designated agent, supports this use. Ergo, I assume that he would not be the designated agent if he did not. So I will let Mr. Patterson also speak to that. Given that there has been no long-term rental or short-term rental use at this property, we have no record of violations or complaints as it relates to previous or current city regulations associated with the land. And again, the property has not been previously used as a short-term rental. Adequate utilities are in place to support the use. This was built as a single-family, three-bedroom, two-bath home. The opportunity to use this home for more than eight individuals, if this was one's principal residence, exists. Therefore, the infrastructure that is in place is adequate to support larger families, as well as that is being proposed as a transient guest accommodation. The public street network is sufficient to support on-street parking, even though that is not a provision within our code to be accepted as a part of a short-term rental application. All parking must be on site. And there was no other observed limitations associated with the infrastructure that was in place. Property is currently served by sidewalk along North Azalea, which ties back into Audubon Drive, allowing movement to the north towards Shepherd Boulevard Elementary School and Shepherd Park, as well as Shepherd Boulevard itself, which then ties back out to Old 63. A sidewalk does terminate south of South Azalea before getting to Stadium Drive. That is a church that is on the corner of Audubon and East Stadium. There is no sidewalk along the Audubon frontage at that location. The rear yard is a fenced-in rear yard with limited usable front yard space given the elevation differences between street grade and the front door. The yard does back up to US 63 and Stadium. Again, completely fenced in and screened from the off-ramp. As you can see here within the overall aerial that's a zoom-in, we do have some existing vegetation along the northern boundary of the property and then along the southern boundary of the property. It is garage to garage, so there is limited interaction between living spaces within the two adjoining homes. While staff would contend that the intensity of the use of this particular single-family residence may be greater, given to the frequency of the guest turnover, noise and impacts are likely going to be minimal given its location. You already have extreme noise being generated between US 63 and the off-ramp and then Stadium Boulevard. So the use of this particular property as a short-term rental likely will not increase that impact. As the staff report pointed out, the intensity of this use as a short-term rental, while it may be at 8, any other individual non-rental property within this R1 residential neighborhood can be occupied by more than 4 individuals or more than 8. There is no limitation on one's use of their own private residence. The maximum unrelated occupancy load on any of the 9 rental properties is 3 unrelated individuals. And that is what is defined by our long-term rental process that we presently have. Parking availability will restrict the occupancy. Unlike our adjoining single family, you could have more drivers than you have parking spaces and therefore would be congesting the public street network. The way that our short-term rental regulations are set up, as I've explained, it requires all of the parking demand being generated by the use of the residence to be accommodated on the site. Hence the need to give consideration, if the commission is inclined to 8 transient guests, that a condition be added requiring that the 2 garage spaces shall be required to be offered whenever the home is rented for short-term purposes. Prior to the adoption of our short-term rental regulations in February of this year, there were no existing regulations that could control and mitigate possible negative impacts. With the adoption of our regulations, we do now have tools by which we can do so. Given that this has not been a previously operated short-term rental with any short-term rental history. It is unclear, and it is not believed that this use will create a negative impact. Time may tell, and time may make that position change. However, at this point, given this is a use that is not currently been used in this particular property, we have no record to support the assertions that it will be greater than what a regular residential home in the neighborhood would create. Yes, it may be greater than what a long-term resident, a long-term rental would create just because of the occupancy. That does not necessarily mean that the impact may be less. We have regulations that can control the commercial nature of this, unlike being able to do the similar type of regulations with long-term rental. So in conclusion, with the exception of the parking shortage that we have identified, the CUP analysis and staff's opinion support a recommendation of approval. There is no record to support that the claims of neighborhood incompatibility exist at this point. If this were a rental property, it could have created, could have had bad renters in it and could have potentially been issue within the community. The short-term rental, once history is established on it, could prove to be similar, and we have regulations that would allow us a method by which to address those impacts up to and including revocation of the short-term rental certificate of compliance. And then again, the approval of the short-term rental request would support several broad goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan. So staff would recommend approval of this short-term rental CUP for 210 nights for up to 8 transient guests, subject to a condition that the two-car garage shall be made available while the dwelling is offered for short-term rental purposes, and that final compliance reviews are completed following council action. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with a party to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, any questions for staff? Commissioner Lowe?
Mr. Zenner, a question about number of occupants. And I see in the staff report that it refers to the request has been made for 8 and the comments about parking and that there's 4 parking spots, 2 in the driveway, 2 in the garage. I was wondering what the calculations based on the International Property Maintenance Code came up with based what occupants are allowed per the IPMC.
The IPMC evaluation has not been conducted at this point, Ms. Lowe. It is not conducted until after the council has considered the action, until a conditional use permit is done. We have not submitted the application onto neighborhood services.
All right. So just penciling out based on the bedroom sizes they've submitted?
Correct.
I'm coming up with 2 rooms at 144 and 1 room at 168. And per the IPMC, each of those would allow 2 occupants. So that 168 is just below the 170, which would allow a 3rd occupant. So based on just looking at that, we're looking at 6 occupants per the room size. It's a question about what we're reviewing and what we're approving, I guess, since the number of occupants is gone over in the report.
Not to speak on staff's behalf, but since he's losing his voice, that's the final compliance reviews part of the motion. Because we've had that with a couple of different cases already where we think that occupancy may not actually be true after they do an inspection.
So maybe, yeah, maybe we're a little chicken and egg here then.
Well, you have to consider, though, Ms. Lowe, that a sleeping space may not be a bedroom. And this was a discussion that we had when we were drafting these regulations. A dining room, living room combination may have a pull-out sofa within it, giving you the additional 2 occupants that are otherwise not captured within the 3 bedrooms.
I agree in which case, if we're going to evaluate the compliance based on the information being provided in the application, that should be clarified, because we do say bedrooms or sleeping spaces, and if they intend to use a non-bedroom as a sleeping space, and we're going to evaluate that, then I think we should see that. I think we are trying to evaluate how many people might be using this property as part of a CUP.
If I may, Ms. Chairman, I think what we can resolve to do as we move forward within the application process, I was not prepared to answer this question. We can more specifically evaluate then IPMC minimum standards associated with the bedroom sizes that are required to be specified moving forward with future reporting. Ms. Galway-Jones is correct that while an applicant may seek to have a maximum, the maximum allowed, or the maximum of what they believe is allowed, that final evaluation will determine what is actually allowed, and that occupancy number would then be established on the certificate of short-term compliance. The reason it's pointed out in the way that it is pointed out and juxtaposed against parking is because we can start and we can evaluate parking immediately as part of this review. And if it is of the commission's concern that trying to ensure that garage spaces are going to be always allowed to be occupied, it may be in a better, it may put the commission in a better position to restrict occupancy based upon available compliant driveway parking.
I understand that. I guess I feel that we would be potentially entering into discussions with more information to be coming down the pipeline, and just wondering if there's a way to get more of that information up front. Since we have had some questions about the appropriateness of this use in the neighborhood, can you just remind me what steps or measures might lead to the CUP being revoked?
So there are a series of general environmental related infractions that exist within Chapter 22 today. So it would be excess trash. There are noise complaints. There would be parking-related issues over occupancy, all of those which would need to be documented and provided to us for investigative purposes. At this point, because we are still within the first year of the ordinance, full enforcement has yet to been undertaken. So we are still in the process of developing all of the regulatory process, so to speak, for enforcement purposes, but we have general requirements already in place that would, the property would be subject to that. The fact of the matter is we have requirements built in to both Chapter 22 that talk about rental site postings requiring that it identify the total number of permitted occupants, restrictions on multiple reservations, and all of the other factors that we talked at great length about between the commission discussion and the adoption in February. So all of those provisions become part of a violations record that then, if the advertising of the site is not being effective, is being improperly advertised, resulting in over occupancy, that becomes something that we can utilize as one of the tools in order to denote that there has been a problem associated with this dwelling.
Thank you.
Commissioner Placer.
Yes, I had a similar question. So just to second that I hope that there's probably a tendency to apply for the maximum number of guests, but we do have to evaluate it against the actual space. And I understand that the applicants cannot be promised that they will get the maximum, that will have to be evaluated.
Commissioner Stanton.
I third that. I was just going to ask Mrs. Zinner, is that so all of this, they're shooting for the moon, 210, 8 people, but it's all subject to the final review, right? And that'll all, okay.
It is, and I would
not. That's valuable information to me, because as long as I know that, that I don't have to hold the applicant to ride or die on this application.
Now, there are, as it relates to the total number of available rental nights, this is a request for 210 rental nights. There is no guarantee placed within the ordinance, because this is a conditional use, that the total number of rental nights, based upon testimony or other factors, could not be recommended to be modified by this body and then ratified by City Council through its approval. As we did with a prior application off of Glenview Court, we specifically required as a condition of the commission's recommendation that one of the garage spaces within that structure be required to be made available. So similarly, you could restrict the total number of rental nights to something less than 210, probably greater than 120. And then you could also restrict, as part of a recommendation associated with the conditional use, occupancy. Again, the loading of the public infrastructure is what we were viewing as being the more important component, and ensuring that all parking is being handled off street, not on street.
Commissioner Williams.
Mr. Zinner, I understand that there is a process in place to ensure that a short-term rental application is brought forward by an individual, and that there's some protections in place so that an individual doesn't create various entities such that they have multiple short-term rental units that they're operating within the city. My question is, is there a, as part of the application process or the city's review, does the city consider whether the applicant has any long-term rental units in the city, and if there are any history of violations or complaints related to long-term rental units?
That was not part of our discussion as it related to the development of these regulations. Long-term rentals and short-term rentals are two totally separate licensure processes within the City of Columbia. And actions of a landlord or an owner of property with long-term properties versus short-term, it could be entirely different. Therefore, we do not have that as a criterion. Can't remember what the phrase is. The sins of the child should not go to the parent, so to speak. And I think, you know, we have to be very careful about how you try to correlate the potential for somebody to be operating a short-term rental in the same manner that they may have previously or are presently operating a long-term rental. We have processes that are different for enforcement and resolution of those types of operational issues. And each should be handled separately.
And then, is there anything asked in the application process? I didn't see it, about whether the person operates a short-term rental outside of the City of Columbia, and if so, whether they've had any regulatory or enforcement against them in those particular properties.
There is nothing in the application, and I would respectfully ask, what relevance does that have if you operate in Boonville and you have had regulatory issues with their city versus regulatory issues in ours when you haven't operated? If you operated one here prior to the adoption of these regulations, I think that is a worthwhile question. However, the correlation between operating in a different jurisdiction, which has different rules and different objectives, I think clouds our impartiality as it relates to granting or denying a request.
All right, thank you.
Any further questions for staff? I will ask the same one I've been asking, I believe, on all of these. I know you said you haven't had any complaints through neighborhood services. Do we know if there have been any complaints through 911?
We have not checked that record. So again, given that this hasn't been used as a short-term rental, I would assume, and we know what that word means, mm-hmm. that there would not be any. I believe that this home was previously owned by an owner-occupant, and therefore there likely would not be.
Very good. Thank you. Any further questions before we go to public hearing? Seeing none, we will open the floor to public hearing. If you are here to speak on this case, please come forward. We allow 6 minutes for groups and the applicant and 3 minutes for individuals. We'll need your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Sherry Wyatt. I am the neighborhood chair, the Shepherd of the Shepherd Neighborhood Association. I live at 1002 Danforth Drive. And I come in opposition of this request. I have had discussions with multiple neighbors, and I hate to set a precedence of short-term rentals in a neighborhood that I love, that I've lived for 27 years. I much prefer to have a family in there that's going to go to Shepherd School, where both of my sons went to school. That would be part of our neighborhood. We're a very active neighborhood association. We have a movie night coming up, and we've worked on our boulevard. And so I am standing for our association in objection to this approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Please wait just a moment. Are there any questions for this speaker? Commissioner Stanton?
Are you in opposition to short-term rental in general, or just not in your neighborhood?
I have stayed in like a bed and breakfast, or Airbnbs. I've used those in different areas. My husband and I we enjoy like the more historic, Victorian kind of buildings, that kind of thing. And I, this is a family home, and I understand that people want to make money and use their property, that kind of thing. So I think to answer your question, short-term rentals, I think, have their place, but an area that does not have any, nor do we have any really, except for being close to probably the football games and basketball games, I can see that that's probably where, people are going to want to come in and stay. In general, short-term rental, I'm not opposed to, but I just think that this is not a neighborhood that is, I don't see any value being added to our neighborhood by having short-term rental.
Are there other questions? Just for clarity, did the neighborhood association take a vote, or are you here in your individual capacity?
I sent information out when we got the card. I had 10 comments, 10 comments that were against, and then 4 comments that were a total of 20 comments. 10 were against, 4 were more adding questions. Is this going to be an Airbnb? Then there was 2 that had gone in and I think probably did some research about from Mr. Zinner, the all the rules and regulations for the new short term. And then then there would have been 4 that was like, well, we stay in bed and breakfast and we really like and enjoy that, so it's hard for us to say no. All right.
So you didn't take an official vote then?
No, we did not.
Thank you. No. Any final questions? No, thank you very much for being here, ma'am.
Thank you.
Anyone else to speak on this case? Please come forward.
Good evening. Yeah, Matt Patterson. I'm 310 West Chabon Avenue, Chabon, Missouri. Yeah, I guess I just trying to jump through these hoops to be open and transparent with things. I mean, there's, I think, a lot of benefit to these short-term rentals. There's, so I went to veterinary school here. I've lived in this neighborhood for 10 years, never been a part of this, I guess, group or the poll, or not sure maybe how to be involved, or I just never was a part of that conversation or any discussions prior to this. Would happy to be and be open to discussing as well. But in my profession, and going to school, there's traveling nurses, there's residents, there's interns, there's a lot of folks that come into town for short periods of time. So I think it would be a benefit to the community as well to have that opportunity, being 2 miles from the veterinary school, which is great for me when I was on call. So I, yeah, that's about all I have. So thank you.
Thank you. Questions for the speaker? Commissioner Lowe?
You said this, the application says this is not your primary residence, but you did live in this neighborhood previously?
Yeah, I've lived here 10 years. I mean, and at Azalea Drive, I have one of the longer tenants there. I mean, it's turned over. Those houses have sold. There's rentals. There's, and I talked to four of the people in the Azalea neighborhood, and no opposition. So, Yeah. I went to vet school here 7 years ago during that time as well. So,
Thank you.
Commissioner Stanton?
So you are the applicant. Let me make that clear.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So you heard some of the concerns. If the stuff hits the fan, who do I call and how fast are they going to get there to fix it?
So my neighbor's right there. He was on the application, Ben Wehr, my neighbor, to looking at the trees to the right of that house. Known him my whole life, reliable. I mean, yeah, I grew up with him, so.
You know, this is like, you're like a pioneer. So, you gotta have to pave the way. So, I'm asking these questions because those who have angst about this whole thing need to be assured that you're not going to be an absentee landlord, big parties,
right,
you know, disrupt the flow of the neighborhood, as you've heard the other people testify to. So you've lived in this neighborhood and you plan to help keep the complexion and nature of the neighborhood? I mean, is that something that's important to you?
Or absolutely. I'm still mowing the yard. I'm still, yeah, doing maintenance around there. I mean, yeah, I haven't had any animosity from my neighbors that have seen me out in the neighborhood. So, be happy to have those discussions. It's just when people don't reach out to you or let you know, it's hard to just discuss and have that open conversation and dialogue. So, but yes, I don't want to change either. We got great people in that neighborhood that have been there. The folks that have been there for as long as I have and longer, super friendly and good people to be around, you know, shake hands, walking the dog around the street, you know. So I haven't had any issues with anybody.
So you get it and you understand, yes, how important it is to keep
absolutely
them happy.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Commissioner Placer.
Some of the people you mentioned renting to, and I realize this is part of the technicalities of short-term versus long-term rentals, those people would probably be long-term renters, like visiting nurses, students, those kinds of people. So, but it does say in the application that, or in the staff report, that you could combine short-term and long-term. I'm not sure how that would work. But the other thing is, because if you have some of those people come along, they will be long-term. They'll probably be more than 30 days. But the other thing is, along with Commissioner Stanton's comment, be sure that you and Ben, if this is approved, stay in touch with the neighborhood association, the neighbors around there, to make sure nothing's concerning them. And that's what will help.
Absolutely, yes.
Thank you. Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, we only allow one per. Commissioner Lowe?
May I ask Ms. Wyatt a follow-up question?
If I allow that, I have to also allow the applicant to return to the podium. Okay. Yes, you may. Ms. Wyatt, please come forward. I will need you to state your name and address again. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sherry Wyatt, 1002 Danforth Drive. How can I help?
Commissioner Lowe?
Hi. One thing that struck me about your comments was the identification that you didn't want this to set a precedent,
yes,
for the neighborhood. And one of the criteria for evaluating the conditional use permit is that there are not any other short-term rentals within 300 feet as the crow flies. So one thing I'm considering in evaluating this is whether or not this would be the one short-term rental in the neighborhood, because once it's established, it could effectively eliminate any short-term rentals within that circumference. So if this wasn't setting a precedent per se, we did put in some buffering on purpose. Would that appease part of your concern about this setting a precedent for the street or neighborhood?
Well, I'm a recently retired RN, and when he mentioned, yes, there are, well, anyhow, to answer your question, that does relieve some of the angst. I think my concern would be 8 occupants. If you're gonna have a resident in there or a traveling nurse, you know, that's gonna be 1 or 2, or maybe, you know, their family, those kind of things. So that, and also renting to a professional is something that I would, you know, certainly be more comfortable with.
And frankly, having read a lot of the STR reviews, they are used for that for a certain amount. So I do think that's a reasonable expectation. Thank you.
Thank you,
ma'am. Would you have anything else, Mr. Patterson? No? Okay. Thank you. In that case, we will close public hearing and go to commissioner comment. Are there any commissioner comments? Commissioner Lowe?
I appreciate Ms. Wyatt's coming back up. I do feel as if this applicant is familiar with the neighborhood. I fully understand the concerns the neighborhood has in that this is a new applicant who doesn't have a history in the neighborhood, except they do have a history with living in, so there is some sensitivity there. I appreciate the response to understanding that we have a little bit of buffering built in once an STR is established in a neighborhood. And Mr. Zenner did go over that there is criteria that should there be issues and there are complaints recorded, this is a conditional use permit. So there is the potential that it could be revoked at some point if there are recorded, documented issues. So given those criteria, I think I support this application.
Any further commissioner comment? Commissioner Stanton.
I agree with my esteemed colleague to my right. My only concern would be the transient guest number, which seems like it could work itself out. I do agree with Mr. Zenner that it's probably needs to be driven by the available parking. Not that I don't think what we're seeing with these applications, everybody's shooting for the moon. 210 maximum occupancy. I'm a businessman, I would do the same. So we need to kind of just think about that as we run through this. They're gonna shoot for the moon. So with that said, I would be a lot more comfortable with six. I think six would be more in line with the parking situation. And I mean, you could say fortunately or unfortunately, these applications we're getting right now are kind of are the pioneers. These have to be successful. And we need to make a win-win for both the neighbors and the people running the SDRs. So if I were going to make a win-win here, knowing it's still up for technical evaluation, I would say 6 and 210. Be successful win-win situation.
Any other commissioner comments? Seeing none, would someone like to make a motion? Commissioner Stanton.
As it relates to case 217-2024, 1419 North Azalea Street, STR condition use permit, I move to approve the STR CUP for a maximum of 210 and 6 transit guests, subject to condition that the 2-car garage shall be made available while dwelling is offered as STR. Also subject to final compliance reviews for completed following council action.
Is there a second? I'm waiting for a second.
Second.
Seconded by, or motion made by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Placer. Is there any discussion on the motion? Commissioner Lowe.
While I understand my esteemed colleague's concerns, I feel like we've muddied this a little bit in that the 2-car garage doesn't need to be fully available if we only have 6 occupants. And I guess I'm still willing to let the IMPC determine occupancy. Would you be willing to bump it up to 8 and let the calculations go? Or we're going to have to go down to only 1 spot and the garage needs to be made available?
I'm looking for the best path to success, and I see 8 just causing problems. I agree. I'll let the math do its thing. Happens.
Are you withdrawing your motion?
No, I accept the amendment to make it 8. Is it?
Yep.
A maximum of 8.
Commissioner yes. Lowe has moved to amend the motion to allow for 8 transient guests. Is there a second to that motion?
Well, or does.
I accept.
Or Commissioner Placer, would you accept that amendment?
Yes.
All right, the amendment maker and seconder has accepted Ms. Lowe's amendment. No one had called for a vote yet. I'm looking at legal to make sure we're happy.
I think probably the cleanest way to do this would be withdraw the motion and start from the top, but.
I withdraw the motion.
Commissioner Placer, do you accept the withdrawal?
Yes.
Excellent. Commissioner Stanton, do you have a different motion?
As written by staff on the screen.
Does everyone understand that motion? I'm seeing nods. Is there
a second?
Second.
Is that?
I'm going to jump in here. The record is not going to reflect what's on the screen, so we're going to have to.
Okay.
We're going to have to do it the long way.
I will restate the motion. Unless Commissioner Stanton wishes
to. Yeah,
I
will. I'm just trying to get through it.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Approval of STR CUP for maximum of 210 and 8 resident guests subject to condition that 2-car garage shall be made available while dwelling offered for STR purposes. Also, final compliance reviews completed by following council action.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Placer. Is there any discussion on the new motion? Seeing none. Commissioner Williams, may we have a roll call?
Yes, you may. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams? Yes. Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson? Not here. Commissioner Walters?
Yes.
With a unanimous vote of 6 of those present, the motion passes.
Thank you. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. Moving on to our next and final case for the night, case number 218-2024, a request by Nicholas Herman for approval of a conditional use permit to allow 210 Bourne Avenue to be used as a short-term rental for a maximum of 210 nights annually pursuant to section 29-3.3VV and section 29-6.4M of the Unified Development Code. The 0.28-acre subject site is zoned R1 single-family dwelling and is located approximately 600 feet northeast of the intersection of Concordia Drive and Bourne Avenue and is addressed 210 Bourne Avenue. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may, Madam Chair. Okay. We are seeking a short-term rental conditional use permit for 210 Bourne. It's a 0.2-acre tract of land, 210 nights. Again, not a principal resident. It is not the principal residence of the applicant. Property owner notification letters were sent out on September 3rd to 29 individuals. Advertising was provided in the Columbia Tribune on September 4th. Oblique aerial, please note that the map is sideways. It projected better this way. So to the north is the Crossroads Shopping Center, and north is to the left. The highlighted parcel is the subject tract in question. Concordia Drive is what you see on the southern boundary of the property, and it provides access back to West Broadway. So Bourne Avenue is currently access restricted at West Broadway, but Bourne Avenue runs between West Broadway all the way to Rollins Road. The only way to access this property heading westbound on West Broadway is from Lock Lane, coming down to Concordia, and then coming up Concordia to the north, or up Bourne to the north. Property is zoned R1. As I indicated, it is not the applicant's principal residence. They are looking for 210 nights with a maximum of 4 transient guests. This property has not been previously operated as a short-term rental. In fact, I've been informed that it was formerly the groundskeeper of Shelter Insurance's home before it was purchased by the applicant. So this was a residence's, a principal residential property that was occupied by a regular citizen. And has been purchased as an investment parcel. The applicant has indicated, as I pointed out in the staff report, that the dwelling would be occupied by their parents for a portion of the year. Unfortunately, as I pointed out in the application, the actual amount of time per year was truncated due to some PDF-related hang-up. So I don't know. I will let Mr. Herman respond to how long the family will be using the home. I did not have that information readily available. And again, there are no short-term rentals within the 300-foot radius. However, in going through our dutiful research of Airbnb, Booking.com, and Vrbo, we were able to identify 3 other short-term rentals outside of that area. One, as pointed out in the staff report, that is actually further to the south on Bourne Avenue. 2 that are actually across Stadium Boulevard, One being the Troxel House, which is the old historic home between East and West Briarwood, and then a home immediately to the south of that, one of which is legally licensed, and the other two, that I should say the Troxel House is legally licensed as an owner-occupied short-term rental, and the other two are not yet licensed. So here is a street view picture of this two-bedroom, two-bath home. Sits on a walkout basement foundation. The slope of this property goes toward the Stadium Boulevard corridor. Therefore, there is a walkout portion. We have a one-car driveway sufficient to park a single vehicle, and then a one-car attached garage. As with our prior application, clarification is necessary to determine will the garage be made available when this unit or dwelling is offered as a short-term rental. If it is not, adequate off-street parking to be accommodated in the driveway will only allow two individuals. This picture is a little bit difficult to indicate. However, the site-specific evaluation of the property did not find an elevation into the home itself. However, accessibility modifications will be determined as applicable by our Housing and Neighborhood Services and Building and Site Development Division staff prior to short-term rental certificate issuance. It should be noted that if you have been out in the field and you have maybe parked your vehicle and gotten out, there is a gravel area that is adjoining the driveway. That gravel area is not considered legally compliant parking, however, would potentially be able to accommodate a second vehicle off the public right-of-way, but not on a paved surface. It would appear from the inspection of the site that gravel area has been there for quite some time and may have been used as parking. Again, we are receiving a conditional use application, and as such, full compliance with our regulatory standards would need to be met to be able to give consideration to any parking spaces and also the requirements associated with it. They must be on a dust-free surface. So in my evaluation, and as presented here in this report, there is one compliant driveway space, and there is only one compliant garage parking space. As indicated, the applicant desires four transient guests. The driveway parking, as we just explained, will only support two. So if we are going to consider four transient guests in this two-bedroom home, we must include a condition on the conditional use permit authorization to require that the garage space be offered whenever the home is being offered as a short-term rental. There is no ADU on this property, even though it is zoned R1. If so, it would have to follow all of the standard ADU provisions, which would include another conditional use. There are 19 surrounding properties within 185 feet of the subject site that are a mix of owner-occupied and rental. As you can see, 13 owner-occupied and 6 rental units. There were 3 general inquiries received based on notification and the sign that we post on the property. Concerns were expressed about this potentially being used as an additional halfway or group home. There is already one existing in the neighborhood, and the concerns related to the fact that introducing another such facility may have an impact as it relates to the compliance of those that are there already. As I explained, halfway houses or group homes are presently, when they are not occupied by more than, when they do not have more than 3 unrelated people, they are considered basically a rental unit. We do have very specific regulations for halfway houses and group home small and group home large. We do not have specific spacing standards. So one of the inquiries was, well, could there be more group homes or halfway houses on our block? The answer to that is yes. When this code was adopted, when the development code was adopted in 2017, at the advice of our consultant to ensure compliance with federal fair housing regulations, distance and spacing standards for that type of housing were removed. And that was also a request of our Disabilities Commission. So it does not exist anymore. It did at one point, but it does not today. So our short-term rental regulations with a spacing with how many are within 300 feet may serve as a surrogate for that as it relates to this new use of a residential home. Again, our SDR process provides a means to address and mitigate potential negative impacts associated with the use of this residential property, which did not exist prior to February of 2024. As with the last request, we must review this CUP utilizing both our general conditional use criteria as well as our short-term rental specific criteria. A short-term rental is permitted in the R1 zoning district, subject to the CUP being granted, the STR certificate of compliance being issued, subject to compliance with Chapter 22, Article 5 of the City Code, and compliance with Chapter 13 and 26, business licensing and accommodation taxes of the City Code. Not unlike our prior request, several objectives of the comprehensive plan would be met utilizing short-term rental and authorizing the CUP. The first has to deal with creating livable and sustainable neighborhoods, and by creating mixed uses within residential locations. The second being addressing our land use and growth management policies and principles, such that we have a very defined and methodical process by which to now evaluate the use of a residential dwelling for short-term rental purposes. And that would be supported within policy 3, strategy number 3. And then finally, economic development objectives of our comprehensive plan by promoting entrepreneurial activities within our community, as well as meeting broader economic development goals and objectives citywide relating to tourism and promotion of the city itself, policy 3, strategy number 2. Not unlike our last application, there are adequate utilities in place to serve this property. There have been no identified inadequacies as it relates to the infrastructure system that exists. This home was built to be occupied, or is a two-bedroom home. Two-bedroom home with a single family, nuclear family occupying it, could have more than four people. Therefore, the impact of a residential long-term tenant versus a short-term residential tenant may not be any different. The rear yard is fenced, backs to stadium. As you will note in one of the aerial photography images that I will show, there are mature trees that surround this property. There is a screening buffer along the Stadium Boulevard corridor. The mature vegetation is along both the north and south sides of the property. There is a very large, if not one, multiple trees in the front yard. And then the front yard has a generally limited use area given the depth of the front yard itself and the existing natural vegetation that is there. The use and intensity, in staff's opinion, by having this request approved as a short-term rental and use of the home for that purpose would be minimal, in our opinion, in comparison to the adjacent surroundings with the traffic along the corridor of Stadium Boulevard itself. With the exception of the identified parking shortage, as has been identified, staff believes that the analysis of the CUP criteria supports a recommendation of approval. This has not been previously offered as a short-term rental, therefore there is no history associated with its operation as such that would support claims of neighborhood incompatibility. Until neighborhood incompatibility is established by its operation as a short-term rental, we believe that this use can be integrated given our current regulatory structure. And if it does become an impact to the neighborhood, we now have regulatory means by which to address those impacts, including but not limited to revocation of the short-term rental compliance certificate. And furthermore, the approval of this CUP request would support several of our broader goals and policies of the comprehensive plan. Staff would recommend approval of the requested 210-night short-term rental CUP with a maximum of 4 transient guests, subject to the condition that the one-car garage shall be made available when the dwelling is offered for short-term rental purposes. If you have questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, any questions for staff? Commissioner Williams.
Mr. Zinner, if you could just clarify the comment that you received regarding halfway houses. That was a phone call. I didn't see an email or anything.
There were all of the inquiries were phone.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open the floor to public hearing. Please come forward. State your name and address for the record. If you are the applicant or representing the group, you have 6 minutes. Otherwise, you have three. Please go ahead.
Nicholas Herman. My address is 3000 Woodkirk Drive here in Columbia, and I am the applicant. I purchased this home primarily to have my mom and stepfather be able to stay there. Hopefully, I don't know exact period of time. They live in South Dakota. We recently had a baby, so I'm hoping to have my mom here more and more for that help. So I'm hoping probably around 4 or 6 months or so out of the year, maybe more. But so while they're not there, we're then hoping to do short-term rentals to help and possibly some other, like, you know, travel nurse stuff, you know, similar to the other applicant as well. So with that, I'm open to questions. As far as the halfway house comment, I think that where that probably arose from is that our neighbors directly to the south, they are part of the halfway house, and so I've gotten to know them some, and I have paid them to do some work on the house, so they've been over there a lot. So I'm thinking maybe that's why that led to that comment. But other than that, there's no intent or plan to do that, anyways.
You and get started with Commissioner Stanton. Go ahead.
Stuff hits the fan. Who do I call and how fast they're gonna get there?
They'd call me, and I live about 5 to 7 minutes away.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak on the case? Seeing none, we will go to commissioner comment. Are there any commissioner comments? Commissioner Stanton.
My colleagues have nothing else to say. I'd entertain a motion.
Please.
As it relates to case 218-2024, 210 Bourne Avenue, STR conditional use permit, I move to approve the requested 210 SR short-term rental CUP for a maximum of 4 transient guests, subject to condition that the one-car garage shall be made available while dwelling is offered for STR purposes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Stanton has moved to approve the case, and that was seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Williams, when you're ready, may we have a roll call?
Yes, you may. Commissioner Lowe.
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton.
Yes.
Commissioner Williams. Yes. Commissioner Galway-Jones.
Yes.
Commissioner Placer.
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson, absent. Commissioner Walters.
Yes.
Unanimous 6-0, the motion passes.
Thank you. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. Are there any general public comments for this evening? Seeing none, staff comments, Mr. Zinner?
Our next meeting will be on October 10th. We do have several items on the agenda. The upcoming cases will be a preliminary plat up off of East Prathersville Road. This is just to the east of the Prathersville and 763 roundabout. Industrially zoned property being proposed to be divided into, if I recall correctly, 5 subdivision lots for industrial commercial purposes. And then we have a PD plan approval, which is a public hearing matter, for the second lot of the Discovery Hotel plat, which is behind, it's in the same complex where we already have the Homewood Suites hotel down there, and then the hotel that's being constructed. So this will build out that area that was platted, rezoned, and then platted about a year and a half ago. So those are the two items. We don't have any short-term rentals, so I get a break. Location of our two projects here, and the parcel that is in front of the highlighted tract on the right-hand side that you are looking at here on the graphic, that is an existing hotel site that we do have a hotel plan on it. So those are our two cases for the upcoming Planning and Zoning Commission meeting on the 10th of October. We will hopefully at that point have our vacant Planning Commission positions appointed. However, we'll not be able to probably have our commissioners join us until the second meeting of the month, which would be October 24th. We are aware that Mr. Williams will be gone on the 10th, so if there are going to be any other conflicts or absences, I need to know that as soon as possible.
I will be out of town on the 10th as well.
Okay.
So we will not have a quorum.
We may or may not, depending if we have anyone absent. So that case may have to get tabled.
And we will not have a quorum, period.
Oh, that's right.
We only have five.
So we can't hear that case at all. That's
we
right,
will not be hearing either of those cases. Thank you very much, Mr. Well, Walters.
You don't have to abstain on Prathersville.
Okay. He's out of town.
Two of us out of town.
So we will notify applicants that the cases that were scheduled for the October 10th meeting will be carried forward to the October 24th. What I will tell you is there are two more. We will have two short-term rental cases on the October 24th meeting. Kermit will hopefully have gone home or back to the swamp, and I will be able to speak normally for October 24th. I appreciate you working with me this evening. Thank you very much for your time and your attention in the work session this evening. Given we will not have a quorum of commissioners, we will have to also cancel the work session. So any topics that we were discussing this evening will be carried forward for discussion on the 24th. That is all I have to offer for you tonight.
Very good. As we go into commissioner comments, for anyone within the sound of my voice, we have two openings that are about to be appointed. If you want to serve, please let someone know. Any other commissioner comments? Commissioner Lowe.
I would like to congratulate our new officers. Commissioner Godway-Jones was reelected as chair. Commissioner Stanton was newly elected as vice chair, and Commissioner Williams was elected as secretary. Congratulations and good luck.
Thank you very much. Any other commissioner comments? Commissioner Stanton?
Moving up in the world, rookie. Keep moving.
Would anyone like to move to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion was made by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Without objection, we stand adjourned.